Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back here on it on Fesco and Dusty, 96.5 The Fan, 9 o'clock, boys. Show's pretty much done. We got Bob's son, Alex Gold, coming in here in about 15 minutes. But I want to rehash on this Thursday night football game because I was just talking to Drew Nixon, obviously an AFC North biased soul out there and co-host of After Hours with Mac Mao, right?
I listened to you guys last night. I really enjoyed and your show.
He goes, Bob texted me at 6:02 and said, talk Chiefs.
Talk Chiefs. 7:02.
7:02, that's right.
Yeah. That's what I used to do with Binkley all the time. It's one of our Chiefs. Things. Talk Chiefs.
I love it.
Thanks, yeah, back in the day, we'd just talk Chiefs.
Check the show out, Bob.
Yeah. And you did. You listened. It was good.
We did.
Yeah,
we
very
did.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't hear much after, 7:30, but, it was good, man. When I was listening and
appreciate
enjoyed
it.
And, talk Chiefs.
Yeah, we'll have some more fun tonight.
When in doubt, talk Chiefs.
I do love that I'm getting a lot of fan support from the text line. That first chug at Quick Trip isn't illegal.
I know.
Who's saying it is?
Quick Trip. They're saying, we're acting like we don't see you. It's like, what do you mean?
Oh, come on.
What would them be acting like they do see me? Like, cool. What are you going to do?
If you're going to have, soda fountain cop out there,
yeah.
What you need I ain't going back. I'll tell you that.
Is the guy that's like, it's just water. No, I just saw Frank fill that up with lemonade, dude. Yeah. I know that's not
the
water.
Guy who but steals I'm not a, soda.
I'm not a rat.
Yeah, I don't rat them out, but I look at these people, and this is why I have anxiety. Because I look at folks who steal soda. Come on, man. Just go pay your 99 cents or your $1.19 or whatever it is. And if you can't afford it, then don't go get it or, ask for some help. But my God.
I'm with this person. I get hot dogs at Quick Trip and try to hide the cheese under the dog.
Oh, I could see people doing that.
Yeah. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
They see it.
Yeah.
They know.
They know.
Yeah. They're no strangers to the streets.
They know.
From the 660, After Hours is the best show. Yeah, well, you got two good hosts. Back at it tonight?
Yes, sir.
Talk Chiefs.
Yeah, dude. Got come
you.
On now.
Heard.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you about Tom Green and his irrelevance.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I honestly, I don't remember what he did.
I don't know if I can say
no,
it.
Don't. Okay. People can look it up for themselves.
Yeah, so the AFC North game tonight, Drew Nixon's out there, and I'm talking to him like, dude, what about tonight's game, man? He goes, oh, my parents just texted me from Indianapolis, and he said that they sent him a picture, snow on the front lawn.
Uh-oh.
And I said, well, you heard about the weather tonight? He goes, oh, yeah. He's like, 20-mile winds, cold, snowy. Mm-hmm. I said, isn't that AFC North football? He goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think we're all in the boat. Now, I think we're all prisoner of the moment. It's Thursday. We're ready for it again, right?
Yep.
It's not our team,
so we don't
care.
Why Thursday is better than Monday.
And that's exactly right. We've been waiting. If you've been watching Mac Action, not Mac Maury, if you want to watch him, it's Mac Fans on OnlyFans.
Right.
It's just
what are you
hair.
Charging now?
$6.99 a month. That's it, man. Okay. Yeah.
You should charge $96.5.
Yeah. $96.50.
Yeah. But whether the rivalry and somehow we're saying the Browns might have a chance is where I think we're at with the Thursday night football. Plus, we're at the time of the season, guys. We're in week 12, right? Season's winding down. We're ready to start seeing competitors lose to make the journey easier.
You're exactly right. We're all Browns fans tonight, right?
And I think so.
I don't like to say that
out
loud.
I'm more of a Jameis Winston fan than anything because I just don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
He's the mystery-flavored Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I think there is, Dusty, a lot of intrigue in this game for I don't really have a rooting interest per se, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think unless you're in Pittsburgh or Cleveland, maybe you have a rooting interest in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, the colors of the uniforms, first of all, to me, pop off the screen. Then it's nighttime. Then it's snow. Then it's a really good team facing a really bad team on a Thursday night, on a short week, on the road.
And rivals.
Rivals. It's got everything, man. This has got everything from a showman standpoint, before the curtain even rises on the stage, you got everything that you want to make a game look good. You know you're going to have some overweight Browns fan with no shirt on, barking with a dog mask. You're going to have some guy with mustache icicles. You're going to have Tomlin ready to kick everybody's ass on the sidelines with sunglasses and look like a badass out there. I mean, it's got everything you could possibly want to be an aesthetically pleasing game. and then they're going to play a football game in it. And I just love snow games. I love snow games at night. Like, snow games during the day, fine. But you have them under the lights at night. It's just magical to me, man. I'm excited about this one.
Right now, the temperature in Cleveland is 39, going to get down to 36. Wind increasing, mixed showers turning into snow later. Going to nest it around 36 degrees, 35 degrees during game time. That's
perfect.
Also, it's like, welcome to football.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's nice to watch games every once in a while where, like, I bet Sunday's game is going to be like a high of 83, 84. Yeah. You're like, this doesn't feel right. But AFC North teams in a Thursday night battle where Cleveland can play spoiler and Pittsburgh's, what, coming off the biggest win of the year? Is that their biggest win of the year? Division rivals?
I mean, especially the way they shut Lamar down on that two-point conversion. And now the other subplot line to this that makes this fun is T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett fighting. Like that really adds to it as well. So
who would win?
I would say Myles Garrett would win.
Gosh, he uses fun weapons.
Yeah, he does. He uses a helmet and knock him over the head. But I think we're going to see two amazing performances from those guys tonight, right? Because they're chirping back and forth on who's the better pass rusher or whatever they got into it over this week. And the
defensive
stats
player of the year.
The stats did bear out. They were showing on Pat McAfee the other day. Now, of course, they had JJ on it, they were talking about, but like Myles Garrett's stats were not even close to TJ Watt's stats in a lot of categories. But I think both of those guys are going to have huge games tonight. You're right about Jameis Winston. I think he's going to be fun to watch tonight. And Russell has an opportunity to go out there and show that he's kind of gotten back that Russell magic. If they go out there and lose today to Cleveland, regardless of how they lose, Russell Wilson will be under question of whether or not he's the right guy. Should they go back to Justin Fields? Like, this game has everything that you want. Like, I know we talked about it briefly yesterday, and the Hard Knocks on this division is just going to be awesome too, man.
Oh, yes.
Like,
I am excited for that.
I love this division, and I'm glad I don't have a dog in the fight, because you can just watch this whole division and appreciate it for what it is, and it's like old school football, man.
Will
I
you
love
to
it.
Watch that with your ear pods in?
No, I don't use those. Oh, my wife does.
You get the TV.
Yeah.
Is there, yeah, the eight others stay unused. Is there another division that we do this with, or that gets
the
us this side?
North.
Yeah, I guess it would be both the Norths, right?
Everybody in the North.
Yeah, everybody in the North is good this year, but there's been many a year where,
well,
you know.
Not even saying that they're all good. I'm saying that if this was an NFC West matchup and the Cards were 2-8 facing this 8-2 Seahawks, this game sucks.
Right.
Like, the NFC North, AFC North, these games.
The NFC West has about as much appeal to me as, you know, I don't know, it's just never been my division, right? Just nothing, whatever. But the AFC North, the NFC North, man, these are slobber knocker divisions, to steal a Madden term from back in the day. Like, this would be a perfect John Madden type game to call. He would love this type of game, man. It's going to be great.
Two questions, because somebody brings up tonight adds to the ammo that's been good Thursday night football, that they say that Thursday night football has amped up their game. Here's your Thursday night games really fast. First game, on to this one. Baltimore at Kansas City to open the season, right? Miami, Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that great, but it was whatever. Patriots, Jets. That's when everyone thought that Littlefinger was back.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys, Giants. So. Bucks, Falcons. That was a great game.
That was the overtime finish.
Yeah. Right? Niners, Seahawks. That was a good game.
Decent.
I mean, there were 60 points put on the board that game.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos, Saints. That was the arrival of Bo Nix.
Right.
Minnesota and the Rams. That was the 30-28, the penalty in the end zone that didn't get called.
Yep.
Week 9 was Houston and the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Jets won that one, because remember Vegas got it right, and everyone's like, what does Vegas know that we don't know?
Yeah, that was what we all like, what's going on, and the Jets ended up winning. That's the last time they won.
Cincy, Baltimore was two Thursdays ago. Yep. That was the 34-35 finish. That was great.
Yep.
And then last Thursday was Washington, Philly.
Yeah.
I think it was a better game than the score indicates. And then tonight it's Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and then obviously Thanksgiving next week. And then after Thanksgiving is Packers, Lions.
Ooh.
Bezos got his head in the game, dude.
Yeah.
So, and then my other question real quick is, would you rather have Myles Garrett or TJ Watt?
I think I would take TJ Watt.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you would have asked me 24 hours ago, I probably would have said Myles Garrett, but after standing in the J locker room, dragging myself off after a nice, get my swole on, I'm looking at those stats. I'm like, damn, TJ Watt, really? I mean,
I think he's 10 sacks behind his brother, 10 and a half sacks behind his brother to pass. Does he do it this year or next year? He might get three tonight.
Yeah, let's see what happens tonight. Let's have that conversation tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, there's some more information on the Missouri sports betting. It's wild.
And there's nobody else other to have than Alex Gold. Plus, we'll get you to what the lines are tonight and moving forward for Saturday and Sunday as Goldilocks comes up on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Here's a quote. A week to clear all of our heads and come back and stick together. Signed, Peter Baelish, the New York Jets quarterback.
Can you believe the Jets tweeted that out like 30 minutes ago?
Yes.
Are you talking about like an ultimate troll job?
And then according to NFL rumors, when asked about his trade getting vetoed to the Jets, Jerry Jeudy responded that it wasn't the general manager. I did it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go there. What a mess that is. What a mess tonight might be. Somebody on the text line says from the 913, it's the Steelers by 30. Quit overthinking it. Okay.
Other than the Lions, who's winning by 30 in the NFL this year?
That's what's weird.
Right?
It's like Cleveland actually has like a good defense. You just don't understand why they can't keep games close because their quarterback is absolutely astonishingly,
right,
just mesmerizingly just fantastic. I don't know what it is. You never know what's going to happen with Jameis Winston.
Right. It's going to be a lot of fun. I just think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's Thursday. It's cold. It's a good night to make chili in a crock pot. Just chill.
Yeah, it's one of those nights. I don't think we have anything going on today, so I think this is like one of those nights where it's parking on the couch.
Night.
Jen can watch Yellowstone for the third time, and I'll watch the game, right?
Also, one of Pittsburgh's key players, the text line alludes to from the 620, going to be tough to kick field goals tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Pittsburgh's going to have to find a way to score a touchdown.
It's true.
Good point.
Special teams player of the, respect the text.
Yeah, there great the point, man.
How many field goals get to 30, LOL, from the 816? Not in this weather.
Right.
Not in the wind and the rain / snow, which means tonight it'll be 40 degrees and no precipitation.
Yeah, exactly. It'll all go away.
The hell's that Alex Gold guy?
Yeah, I don't know. Does Alex know it's time?
Somebody yells. Go out there and yell, son.
Hey, Alex!
Golly.
Pittsburgh also doesn't give up a lot of points, too, so it's not like you have to score a lot if you're on that offensive Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, the over-under is 37. That's tonight's game, and then Pittsburgh is hanging 3.5.
Right.
On the road, on Thursday, short week, big win.
Right.
Could still be hungover after beating Baltimore. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the conditions in tonight's game could drastically change with all of that. Speaking of drastic change, we are now joined by our guy, Alex Gold.
Good morning.
How's it going, guys?
Following the Missouri stuff? Or what?
Well, you got to play his intro.
Oh, you got his intro? Play it.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Gold.
Yeah, good to be on with you guys.
Finally got some football weather here in Kansas City.
And tonight,
hit the rod this morning a little quicker than I thought it was going to. But before we get into the game tonight, the most important thing is the mess of the Missouri gambling law that we thought was good. Now we're kind of thinking it's good. We still might think it is. Take the floor.
It's still good. Still okay. Good.
You say with a hesitation in your voice.
No,
that was quick to it.
I think that was a confident answer.
Still good?
Yeah, no, still good. Ultimately, I've had some people ask, like, why are they even still counting? Because, but that's, they always make the results official. Usually it's just not this close, so it doesn't matter, and everybody moves on with their day. But it got really narrow 2 days ago, and now I think it's in a much better spot. So to fill people in, we're talking about Amendment 2 in Missouri that, passed multiple weeks ago, but they ultimately have to finalize and certify the results in December. And at that time, the margin was only 4,300 votes or so. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden on Monday, when each county started to report their final tallies, there was one county in particular, I think it's Christian County, certified results. Well, all of a sudden they had 10,000 more votes.
Like, 10,000 yes or no votes?
10,000 more total, but a majority of them being no.
Oh, in Christian County?
I don't know where that's at in Missouri, I'll be honest.
Never heard of that.
And so that narrowed the gap to, at one point, the yes side was only up 368 votes. That's how narrow this thing got.
Wow.
And then now things are a little bit better. I talked about this last night on that betting show.
Which one?
That one. And a few of the bigger counties in the state that were more yes votes than no votes came in, and now it's back up to, my understanding, like an 1,800 to 2,200 vote margin.
How many
in
dead
favor
people
of yes?
recently voted yes for this in Missouri?
I don't know, but really it was the early voting that came in, and I guess there was some issues with some of that in Christian County or whatever, and that's why all of a sudden there was 10,000 more votes in a county that predominantly voted no. But it's back up. It's not a 300 vote margin anymore. My understanding is it's back above 1,800 or so. And it looks like everything's good. And the no side still has said they're not going to recount or anything. They're not going to request a recount, even though technically anybody can. Like, even a Missouri resident could request a recount if they wanted to.
That's millions of dollars, though, right?
Correct. Yeah. There's a cost to that, to say the least, for a statewide.
Do you think anybody will do that? I mean, do you think there'll be somebody in Christian County that comes out of the woods and says, hey, we need a recount here?
I don't think you can say 100% no, but I would be shocked based on people I've talked to. I know the campaigns, like, on either. The only side that would have requested a recount campaign-wise would have been the yes side. If this thing would have flipped and we were sitting here and all of a sudden no is winning by 200 votes, the yes side would have, is my understanding. The no side doesn't have much of an appetite to do that. One, the cost. But remember, on the no side, one of the key contributors to that campaign was Caesars.
Right.
And so, like, if when this passes and becomes launches in Missouri next year, they're gonna benefit financially from it. So why would they put another couple million to go against it on top of the campaign they already had? So,
right. Yeah.
So I think everything's good. It just got really interesting with the votes narrowing the margin.
Yeah. There. It's just crazy.
Hates gambling. That's the Ozark County, right?
Did you find out where Christian County was?
My dad just texted
where's
me.
Where's that at?
He said, in the text line too, my dad said Christian County is where the cabin was for me. That's where our cabin was in Shell Knob.
Where's that?
It's like basically Ozark area, like down in like past Springfield, 44.
Branson kind of?
Like in that kind of area. And somebody says Christian County is Lake of the Ozarks from the 913.
Okay.
There you go. They didn't pass that law for the casino. They're like, absolutely not.
Yeah, that didn't pass. I think that spoke to how Kansas City side bet the yes side up quite a bit on the sports betting, because folks here had the tie in either already going across the state line versus
St. Louis side too, though.
Yeah, but Kansas City supported the sports betting more than St. Louis did, which
we're always better at everything than that.
I agree.
Hole.
I was a little surprised that it was by the margin it was, because St. Louis, the Cardinals themselves, they were really front and center of all the six pro teams that were for this. They were the DeWitt family was way in front of this thing. I know you guys talked to them way back when they started the campaign and everything. So I was a little surprised that St. Louis didn't contribute, if you will, a little bit more than Kansas City on the yes side, but
they
looks like everything's
back up
good
with Provel cheese and crappy pizza. So look, it's
I
good.
Like Provel cheese.
You like that pizza?
You and Jerry and Samba are going to get along well.
I can go to Martin City and get the toppings, and I'll be like, you can add Provel to it.
Yeah.
I really don't hate it. Yeah. I like fried raviolis too.
Well, who doesn't? If it's green, it's trouble if it's fried or
the
double.
Hill's the only thing that I'll enjoy over there.
Yeah, the Hill is fantastic.
That's where my little sister, she graduated in St. Louis, and they went to the Hill for her final dinner. My dad's like, yeah, whenever you want to take a nice girl out to dinner, take her to the Hill. I'm like, where's
so
that? He's like, you just pick one, close your eyes.
Canetto's is my all-time favorite place up there. Favaz's is really good. He trained under Jasper, doesn't use Provel. So if you're looking for a St. Louis place that uses real food, Favaz's is the
shout
place
out
to
Webster
go.
Grove to my little sister. Or Webster. So tonight's game, let's get into this. First question I have for you, does it matter who's playing if it's a snow game for you?
What do you mean? Does it matter who's playing?
Like, it could be Vegas versus Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be forecast flurries. Watching.
Yeah, I think it matters on a betting angle. It matters because who can run the ball really effectively,
and who
is going to typically want to throw the ball around. And in this game, you're right. Both teams are fine with running it. It's a divisional game, and the forecast tonight, it's 100% chance of precipitation. I think it's going to be. It sounds like a wintry mix, maybe snow at times, and then the wind is always the biggest thing. We always talk about if it's going to be rain. The wind is always what will impact the game more. If it's super windy, I wouldn't be surprised if Russell Wilson, if it's actually going to live up to the forecast, they might only be able to throw it 10 or 12 times tonight in the game. But Najee Harris, that rushing attack is more than capable, whereas the Browns, Nick Chubb has not been what everybody was hoping was going to be when he came back from injury.
Nobody ever is that first year after that knee injury.
Especially if you watch that in slow motion.
I mean, he destroyed, didn't he
I just saw it in my head again.
So
that was nasty. That was nasty. Look, two things with this game. One, I really do like Pittsburgh, -3.5. I know you take a look a trend even surprised me for this game. Mike Tomlin on road divisional Thursday night games is 0-5. He's never won a road divisional Thursday night game. The Steelers as a team are 0-7 in their team's history on road divisional games. So
On Thursday night.
So that's just a trend that doesn't back them up. But at some point, we have to still watch the teams this year, don't we? Like we can all look at trends.
Tells you what happened, but not what will happen.
Yeah, like
you know?
The Browns have lost by 17 and 21 the last two times out. Like their last two games, they have not been competitive whatsoever. And so I like Pittsburgh quite a bit. I actually put it up on the board in our in-house contest just now. Mm-hmm. I think Cody just trailed me on it as well. If you end up riding that bet as well, then I'm going to have to switch it. Because if everybody's on Pittsburgh, minus 3.5 on our in-house contest.
I'm not a coattail rider.
Look, the Steelers are...
Surprised they didn't cut you in line to try to get up there first.
The Steelers have given up the second fewest points per game, and they're the third-ranked PFF defense in football this year. So I like Pittsburgh quite a bit in this game. I know none of us believe that, you know, they're true Super Bowl contenders. Can they actually win two or three playoff games? No. But the Browns stink, guys. I'm not worried about the Thursday night Mike Tomlin trend. I'm really not.
What about the kickers? Our text line brought that up earlier, and I thought that was a great point. Pittsburgh can't find their way into the end zone. They're winning games with field goals.
But there's wind.
And there's wind and rain and snow. It's not at height. Men in dog masks.
Yeah, you know what's weird? It's Heinz Field, which that's not where it's now, AquaSure or whatever. It's not there. It's in Cleveland tonight. Mm-hmm. So Boswell's used to kicking in like windy or weird wind.
NFL.com had a great story about that game being played in Pittsburgh. Did you see that one yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, great story about how the Pittsburgh is going to have an impact. It's in Cleveland. NFL.com.
Completely botched it. Yeah. Completely botched
Thanks
it.
Thanks for it's listening.
Just, yeah, be, that's why maybe you shouldn't just blindly be careful when you're reading an article and blindly betting based on
most of the stuff is written by AI.
That's true as well. But no, that and then the under 36.5. I do think the under, even at that number, it's been bet down from 40.
37.
I still like it. Is it so? If you're shopping around 37, if you like the under, is obviously better than 36.5. I just, is Cleveland getting the 17 points, guys? Like I
this
know. Feels
Jameis
like
it Winston could, can shock you, and that's the only thing that scares me about this game. Is like you said earlier, like is there going to be a guy that's going to say the hell with it? I'm throwing no matter what. That guy screams, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not going to parlay the two together, because if this game goes over, it might be because Jameis says that and throws a pick or two for a touchdown. So I'm on the under 36.5, and then a separate bet on the Steelers minus 3.5.
Do you tease this game?
No, because who are you teasing?
Would you tease down Pittsburgh to pick them and then tease up the over under?
If you were going to tease, I would only tease the total. The reason why I say not to tease Pittsburgh down, we talk about the key numbers all the time, 7-3-0. Usually you don't want to tease down through zero. Like usually you don't want to tease 6 points down through zero the opposite way. It's typically over time you're not getting good value. It's a losing strategy.
So this is the one that I'm kind of like Dusty crazy about. I kind of want to take Indiana plus 13, but I feel like they're going to go into the big house, not the big house, the horseshoe, and get blasted.
That's what everybody's been waiting for all year though.
But I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like at some point.
Is 13 comfortable enough? Because I feel like if you think that Indiana can get blown out by Ohio State, you'd take the over of 51 according to DraftKings.
You're saying if you think Ohio State's going to blow out Indiana,
because you think that they're going to score like they're going to beat them like 48-21.
Yeah, but if it's a blowout like that, then you just wonder, is Indiana even
going to score?
Get a score. I like Indiana plus 13.5. I would just buy the half point and make it an even 14.
Okay,
just, that way you're protected if they win by two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But I think you're still getting a good number there. Like everybody's been waiting, including myself, for Indiana just to fall off. Like okay, come on now. But
Bob's ready. His team's playing this week.
It's mid-November. I mean,
they're legit.
They
may
not be exciting when we say the name out loud. I heard you guys driving in talking about the college football playoff and like who's going to bring in more fans. Yeah, Indiana's not going to excite the casual fan. 100% with you. But they're good enough to hang with two touchdowns of Ohio State this Saturday.
What if they get motorboated though? Like and it's 11 a.m. here. Yeah.
Oh yeah, big noon kickoff. Whatever. Yeah.
No, which I love. But anyway, what if they get motorboated? What if it's 56-7, man? Like then what are we saying
their
about
season's
Indiana?
Over?
It's done.
The playoff committee will say, okay, good. We got our excuse to get him the hell out of there.
To get him the hell out. You're looking for a game like that.
That's why we were, you know, like the rankings are fun for everybody to talk about. That's why, but they're pointless right now. The college football playoff rankings when they get released, because for example, use Boise State. Fourth? You know, like they move BYU way back. I was talking with Drew about this because he's got his college football podcast here on Odyssey.
249.
And
why not 420? I don't get the 249.
249 miles, Bob. You know,
420 has got too many high rises there.
Thank you, Dusty. Are you ready for Colorado this weekend?
That's the Gold Lichens Bowl,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I was just saying, so like Boise State, it's easy for them to put them in and give them a bye right now in these rankings. Mm-hmm. But if BYU, even though they're down right now, if BYU were to beat Arizona State and then beat Colorado, let's say, in the Big 12 title game, BYU is going to leapfrog Boise State right back. It just doesn't matter. Who cares?
What do you like in that KU Colorado game this weekend?
The over?
Definitely the over 59. I mean, I just think it's going to be fun. And I saw Matt Tate over in Lawrence. He was saying that they're expecting, it seemed high. He's hearing that maybe they can get to 55,000 for this game because the weather's looking good. And you and I were talking about this, Dusty, early in the week. I'm probably going to wait till Saturday morning to buy tickets if I end up going. I think the crowd's going to be fun. Of course, Colorado's a draw. KU's playing better now. It's, you know, it's the last game for this group of seniors that has done a lot. I think that does factor into the attendance a little bit.
Yeah.
But the over's the play. I would love to tell you KU's going to win outright. I don't know if I have the confidence to actually put my own money on them to do that.
Plus 120.
A lot of KU fans are claiming they won the national championship over these last 2 weeks. So I mean,
it's frustrating because this is the team that everybody thought they could have been.
Well,
they
weren't.
This was the Prince Promise for sure.
Right now, Colorado -2.5, over under 59.5. KU +120 on the money line. If you're me, I'm taking 2.5 in the over. It's +250. For Colorado.
I'm not surprised you're doing that. I get it.
Very, very biased.
It's up to 3.5 on FanDuel, too. Colorado minus, it's got up to -3.5.
That gives you more juice. Speaking of juice, Kansas City against the spread this week. It's 10.5 against Carolina.
Oh, it dropped. Last I saw it was 11.
Wow. Yeah, 10.5. Look, I know we've done the teasers for four straight weeks. Last week it bit us in the ass. We lost both teaser legs because the Chiefs lost by 9 and they didn't even cover the 8.5. So that one was bad. We had a nice run going on the teasers.
No doubt.
You can definitely tease this one down. I'm taking the Chiefs -10.5. I do believe they're covering. This will be one of their biggest.
Say that again.
Taking the Chiefs -10.5.
-10. I thought you said 7.5.
-10.5. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. To cover the 10.5 points. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carolina's won two in a row, but I'm sure you guys have talked about it. They beat
the Saints and the Giants,
who had at that time Daniel Jones starting the week before the Saints by a point, and then they fired their head coach the next day. Bryce Young might have more confidence now than he did a month ago. Good for him because the Panthers have kind of screwed him up. But I just don't see it. I mean, this to me reminds me of the Bears game from a year ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to win by 20 or whatever it
42
was.
42-10.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be that. But I'm fine with just laying the 10.5 points with the Chiefs this Sunday. I do think it is a bounce back spot for them. And that's why in this game, too, knowing that there's a short week ahead with Black Friday against the Raiders, I actually, depending on Pacheco's status, I kind of like, once the numbers are out for Carson Steele and Samaje Perine, I kind of like some overs on their very low rushing totals and anytime touchdown bets on them. If this gets out of hand in the second half, why would you give carries to Kareem Hunt or Pacheco, knowing where they're at and they're physically in the short week ahead? Yeah. I could see some guys further down the depth chart getting a late touchdown. So anytime touchdown market, some guys further down the board, you know, like
Carson Steele is +550 anytime. Clyde Edwards-Helaire +550 as well.
+550. That seems way too low. He's not going to play
anytime touchdown.
Now, if he's not active, then the bet just isn't you're good. So, but yeah, I mean, Clyde hasn't played all year.
Peyton Hendershot is +1,100 to score a touchdown.
I mean, don't hate it. Yeah. Don't hate a little small sprinkle on it just because
$5 bill on that thing, right?
If you think the Chiefs are covering the 10.5, then you probably think they're comfortably ahead, obviously, through much of the game. Fourth quarter, 8 minutes to go, Carson Wentz comes in and they're just handing the ball off a bunch to Samaje Perine and Carson Steele, and maybe there's one pass to a backup tight end.
What does Caliendo have for a touchdown?
That's not on there. I did see that.
Jim!
Mecole Hardman's +700. Big. Could be a good surprise. Mecole Hardman, jet sweet touchdown.
Anybody
+700.
I like it. Anybody that's just further down, that's normally like the fourth, fifth, sixth option in the offense, all of a sudden the fourth quarter maybe gets
better. And then before we get you out of here, the Harbaugh Bowl is Monday night.
I can't wait for this. This is going to be fun.
This is your one this week that you like.
Yeah, this is one I like.
Tonight's my like. Yeah. Yeah.
I love this game. One, I also love it because I think now's the great time for a betting angle to just fade the Chargers. Everybody loves the Chargers right this second. Everybody loves them. Mm-hmm. They just saw them on Sunday Night Football. But let's remember, the team they beat on Sunday night is still a bad football team in Cincinnati. Right? Cincinnati has 4 wins. It's not the same Cincy team from the past. That who have the Chargers beat? Their best win is maybe the Broncos in early October. Go through their schedule. Who have they actually beaten? So I think we've overinflated the Chargers,
Cincinnati, who
will be a playoff team this year. But I like Baltimore. Baltimore, to me, is clearly still the better football team. So to me, is a good sell spot on the Chargers. Their value is maybe higher now than it's going to be at any point this season of the national attention that they're getting. So give me the Ravens. I think it's -3.5 at last.
You taking the Ravens outright?
Yeah.
Mm.
You like the Chargers, sounds like?
I'm on that wave. I think Justin Herbert and Harbaugh have kind of got that Black Eyed Peas connection.
Oh, they're a playoff team for sure.
No, I will never be on that wave with the Chargers. It's one of those teams I will just
be ready for next year. You know, next year is more than any other.
Charger
next year,
coming back.
Everybody is going to be picking the Chargers to win the division next year.
Why would it change from any other year? Yeah.
But this year, nobody was really picking them because everybody realized they were going to take a step back, although they didn't. Next year will be the year where everybody's on the Chargers bandwagon.
Great. Then I'll make some money on
the ready to rock.
Yeah, I'll make some money on the Chiefs then. Outside of Paul Charchin, what's the forecast for Cody and Golden Drew today?
Yeah, so Dane and Hughes will join us. We'll get his perspective on a game like this. So you come off a huge matchup against Buffalo. How does the psyche of a player kind of work going into this game? We'll peel back the curtain on that. And then we will talk about the comparisons that I think exist between the Bears game from a year ago to what we're going to see on Sunday.
There you go. All right. Well, we appreciate the time.
Thanks,
and the
guys.
Knowledge.
Well done,
and,
son.
Let's just, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not going to call you dad.
Sorry. Oh, not calling you dad.
That's disrespectful, isn't it, Dusty?
Throw a Y on there. Okay. Never know. Thought maybe we'd get there. Not a chance. Speaking of KU, a former KU player, Joel Embiid, is just continually finding himself in that spotlight. We both have to pee, so we're going to go to break a little early.
Hey, honesty is my new thing. I got to hit the head. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty at 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports. You got to do an ad, and I don't.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, refreshed and ready for the final stretch. Got a lot of thanks, coach, text to Alex.
Why? What did Alex
say? From the 913, you only play who's in front of you. Chargers aren't a bad team.
Don't you have one of those teams in sports, like no matter what they do, you're just never going to like believe in them?
The Knicks.
Yeah. For, like, to bring 1,000%. The show back to the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Like,
full circle.
Yeah. Like, no, but like, Mac, what about you? Like Tennessee football or like,
okay.
But no, is there like a team where like, you just are never going to believe in them? Like no matter what they do, it's just like, yeah, whatever.
I don't know. They're probably at
But do people believe in Cleveland? Yeah, no. Or like,
do you think the Cavs fans are like, this is it, man? Here we go.
100%.
Yeah. I asked you guys on the text thread the other day, who has more losses this year, the Cavs or the Browns?
Oh, well, it'll be the Cavs.
Like, what's a record season in the NBA is the like Bulls. 72-10, right?
Is the Bulls or the Warriors that did it?
Yeah, 73-9 is the record.
73-9 is the record. Okay.
Was that Golden State or was that Chicago?
Golden State, 72-10.
Yeah, so 72-10, like right in that. So,
like a great season, if you're 63 and, you know, do the math, whatever that is, you know, that
63-20 or 63-19. Yeah.
If you're low 60s wins, that's an amazing season.
That's right. Why when you start seeing the good teams get to 60, start seeing their good players not play.
Yeah.
Like Luka Doncic takes a couple days off when the Dallas Mavericks get to like 60 to 61 wins.
Yeah.
Speaking of guys that take days off, Joel Embiid, this guy, man, like, he's getting up there with Lord Baelish.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, every time he's in the news, it's not positive.
No, not at all.
And we know this is going to happen because during the Olympics, he was like, I'm the bad guy of the NBA. I'm going to go play for Cameroon. They don't really have a basketball team that qualifies for the Olympics.
Right.
Because they don't win. And now he's on the Philadelphia 76ers. And it's like, dude, if you don't want to be there, My thing is this. I find this very hard to wrap my head around. But I feel like in any sort of circumstance, it takes a real person to have a conversation with another person to let them know about what's going on currently if you're not happy. Like, I would hope to God that if you at one point in this show are like, you know what, I need to sit down and talk. I don't like where this is going. I don't like the attitude you're giving off. I'm not feeling the chemistry that I once felt. We need to fix this. Instead of just showing up and being like, yeah, it's a good take.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I've worked with people. It sucks. Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, man, it's like a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like when you sit down at dinner and it's not smiles and conversations and it's just who can eat faster, put their dish away and go to bed. You're like, something's not right here.
You clearly. Said you weren't in a relationship. You clearly are.
No, I mean, it's just like subtle hints show that.
Yeah.
And instead of Joel Embiid being the man and going to ownership, he's letting it all just like out to everybody else and letting everybody else create their own narratives, which is two sides of a sports topic. People are like, oh, you guys are forcing the narrative. That's not what he said. Well, we're forcing the narrative because this is all we're told he has said. And what he said was, whoever leaked this is a real piece of blank.
He would know about being a real piece of blank, wouldn't he? Because what he's doing right now, and this is why I have a problem with him and the quarterback in New York, is because there's a lot of collateral damage that is taking place. And I'm not a big this isn't fair guy, but in a situation like this, I am. This isn't fair for all the collateral damage that Joel Embiid is causing everybody around there. And Joel Embiid is the perfect representation of where we are, you know, in 2024 going into 2025, where it's never my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And instead of Joel Embiid taking ownership and saying, you know what, I really need to be better at this. I need to be on time. I need to think more of my teammates. He's blasting somebody for putting the story out there about him instead of being a better teammate. And that's peak. Here we are right now. It's always somebody else's fault and somebody else's problem. Take some personal responsibility, Joel.
Or maybe take some personal time and admit that your mindset isn't right. Like, I love this text from the 913. I mean this sincerely. Embiid needs to get his ass to therapy. Maybe he's not right. Like, I know he's had some dramatic stuff happen in his family, right? I get that. He's had some dramatic NBA history. I understand that. Injuries, time. Some of it is self-inflicted. Yeah. Some of it is out of his control. I am all about people just honestly telling you how they feel instead of barking at other people and giving people a narrative that they can go run with. I just think that this is what we see a problem with in sports with iconic figures. And I think that Joel Embiid is one of those iconic figures, right? He's an MVP. He's a huge basketball player and he plays in a big market. And in that market, they will grind you up and spit you out.
Yep, they will. Philadelphia does not like this guy. They don't like Nick Sirianni, and they're 8-2, and the man took him to a Super Bowl. So you're picking a battle with a fan base that has zero patience for anything, right? And there's no forgiveness at all whatsoever. You know, I'm sure they're mad at Bryce Harper for something right now because they didn't go far enough in the playoffs. Like, this is the ask Andy how the Philadelphia fan base is, right? How that went. So, you know, if you're Embiid and you're acting this way, you're not going to get any sympathy from the fans. You're not going to get any sympathy from your team. And nor should you, man, nor should you, unless you admit to yourself, hey, man, this is on me. I got some issues. I have not been a good teammate. Instead, he's mad that whoever leaked this is a real piece of blank. The way you're acting is a real piece of blank, pal.
Yeah, he says they talked about a lot of things. And the meeting lasted 30 seconds. So it's like, okay, which did he talk about a lot of things or did it last 30 seconds? You never know. Yeah, Joel Embiid, I mean, this guy.
Yeah, hang on a second here. If you talked about a lot of things.
He didn't.
30 seconds is not the length of the meeting.
No. Also, you have a 24-year-old, your co-star, having to call you out a 30-year-old. And you say, you know, Philly, they're impatient, they're mad. I'd agree with you there. But they were actually pretty patient with Joel Embiid.
They were.
Joel Embiid saying, trust the process. They sat there for 2.5 seasons and watched that team beat. Bad win 15 games and lose the other 60 for 2+ seasons. Mm-hmm. And for now, they've trusted the process. Dude, where is it? They haven't even made an Eastern Conference Finals with this guy.
Right.
He complains about getting the MVP for 2 years, says he's better than Jokic. Finally, the NBA, for whatever reason, like you say, it's a pleasing, we're in this generation where we have to give you what you want. You've asked.
Right.
They give it to him, and now he's not even here.
No, he doesn't show up. He, you know, they always say in sports and in life, there are energy givers and there are energy suckers. Mm. I don't know that there's a bigger energy sucker this side of the Jets quarterback than Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is an energy sucker at its biggest length.
It's just such a smooth ride.
Irrelevant, but funny. No, I just look, man. Like I watched the game the other night. He literally ran into the stands like two rows all the way up, and then didn't even get off the ground to block the ball. Like, I mean, hit the backboard, but I mean, dude, he's seven. Like,
he just reach and touch the backboard.
But like, just the laziness, the lack of it. Because like, what he wants to do is he wants to continue to get paid the, what do you get the extension of, like $190 or $180 million 3-year extension. He wants to just get paid and not play. Mm-hmm. And so what he's trying to do is just be the miserable one. Like, he's trying to be the kid on the playground that's like, I don't want to be on that team, so I'm just going to, like, lackadaisically walk on the court. And you're just like, dude, come on, man. Like, if you don't want to play, then just don't play.
So,
okay, cool.
Remember when he got into a fight with that reporter at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah.
And they suspended him for 3 games. Yeah. Somebody had said at the time that the proper punishment would be making him play 3 games in a row.
Uh-huh.
Because he doesn't.
He won't.
He won't. You know, he just won't do it. Like, I mean, again, I know there's so much FOMO in sports and people are so worried and concerned about, you know, if we get rid of this guy or we don't, the 76ers will be a better overall team without Joel on it.
And someone's going to be stupid enough to give the bag and give good young players who want to win.
You know who that team is. It's the New York Knicks.
You think Joel's going to end up in New York? If he acts like this in New York, you think Philly's bad, pal? Oh, my God.
No, I 100% think he goes to New York. Because they have Jalen Brunson, but he can't be the only star.
Right. No, you're right. In the NBA, you need multiple, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Celtics, Max team, right? Derek White is the fourth best player on that team, and he's a baller.
Yeah, he's
shot caller.
And he finally brought it home. Because for a while, it looked like he was trying to kill Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies.
Had to cut it off, man.
Yeah, dude.
Had to cut it off.
I thought he was going to ride a horse through a mall while Arnold was doing the same. Excuse me. Sorry. Great movie, True Lies. Shout out Jamie Lee Curtis for that scene. You don't know because you've never seen it, but it's fine.
Do you know who Jamie Lee Curtis is?
Yes, I know
Jamie. Do you know her outside of Activia?
I don't know if Activia. I was going to say Halloween.
Well, yeah. She's on the yogurt commercial.
Activia.
Yeah.
I know her from True Lies and Halloween.
What was the bad 80s sitcom she was in?
Couldn't tell you.
Romancing the Stone, One Night in Bangkok. What the hell was the name of that? It's Designing Women? No, it wasn't Designing Women.
She's such a
Moonlighting?
Vibe.
Was it Moonlighting, Jamie Lee Curtis?
I don't know. I was too far gone from Jamie Lee Curtis. I got the scene from True Lies, and then I just found out that was the same girl in Halloween.
She's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Was it Moonlighting?
Well, there's just so many. I don't know what, you know what I mean?
She's such a smooth ride.
A lot more that I know her than I thought, though. Hmm. Yeah, Freaky Friday would be the one.
Oh, yeah, Lindsay Lohan. Right?
Whatever happened to her?
She's back, baby.
Yeah, they're doing another Freaky Friday.
Are they really?
Yeah. Both of them are in it.
Lindsay Lohan. She was hot for a minute.
From the 913, stop talking about the NBA. Y'all don't know ball. New York has Kat. Yeah, because Kat's a superstar. That's why Minnesota said you can get lost. We have our superstar and Ant.
Yeah, they got rid of
They got rid of the cat and paid the Ant.
Yeah.
So, ask Jimmy
Here's Pope. The talk NBA, but don't talk NBA unless you're going to tell me what I want to hear about
Somebody
the NBA.
Says Moonlighting was Cybill Shepherd.
Oh. But I don't remember. I know she was in some 80s sitcom. Was she in something with Paul Reiser, Mad About You?
Trading Places, Hubba Hubba. Either way, coming up next, Cody, Gold, Drew from 10 to 2. Before we do that, it's that time of the year, man. It's Thanksgiving. Go give thanks. Go be nice to somebody. You never know. Could change their day, week, month, or year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind and stay safe. And stay warm and enjoy tonight's AFC North matchup on Thursday Night Football.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Cody, Golden, Drew coming up from 10 to 2.